Well, welcome back to class. Hope you've been enjoying the training center thus far. What a powerful importation conference we had, L2MA importation conference. You do yourself a favor. I know you had to register to be there. Please go back and go over those messages again so that you can begin to apply those messages to your life. Last time we were together, I began to talk about what we as ministers and leaders in the body of Christ, what we have to accomplish. It's three things that we have to really focus on in our personal lives so that we can lead others to achieve those same thing. You know, Ephesians, the fourth chapter, the 11th verse, said he gave some apostles, some pastors, teachers, evangelists, and for what purpose? The 12th verse says for the maturing of the saints, or the maturing of the saints, or the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, so that the body of Christ can be built or edified. And so we as leaders have to be able to be in a certain position so that we can lead others to that same position. This last year, 2020, have been a very pivotal and really soul-searching year for a lot of people. One of the things that we found out is how sick our country is, or rather the world, how financially unprepared the world is, and how absent the very nature or presence of God has been in our society. And so if we are the leaders or to lead the body of Christ to achieving the agenda of God, then we have to become strengthened in those areas. What three areas? Number one, our relationship with God through fellowship. Number two, our health. Number three, our wealth. Just today, if I don't remember, somebody please email me to remind me. But I want to put a link in the classroom of the apostle drop-in that apostle actually did today, which is February the 10th. He did one this morning, and some of you may have seen it, but if you haven't seen it, I'll be sure and put a link for you in the classroom portal so you can access it. He dealt with health. Now, this is very important, body of Christ, that we grab a hold of this health and wealth. As I stated in the last class we were together, and I am deviating from our textbook. Matter of fact, first and second year students are seeing that we'll be seeing this class, and I'm deviating from Spirit Life Training and Alliance of Honorable Men for at least one more week so that I can conclude what I started the last time we were together, because it's very important that you as a leader grasp this. This pandemic exposed those three things: how unconscious people are of God, how unhealthy this world system is, and three, how financially unprepared this world system is. Now, God has made provisions for all three of those areas. Matter of fact, Galatians 3:13 says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on the tree. Why? Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through faith. Well, the curse of the law is second death, or eternal separation from God, sickness and disease, and poverty. Christ has redeemed us, or put us back in our former position. Now, having understood that, this last pandemic is what I like to call a shot across the bow. It's given us a chance to assess where we are, our readiness, assess where we are, not only as a church, not only as a country, but as individuals, where we are in all three areas. Where are you in your relationship with God? Because in these last days, you're not going to be able to trust outside sources for information. You're only going to be able to trust outside sources by what you see them doing. You can't believe what they're saying. So you're going to need the spirit of discernment. You're going to need the revelatory gifts working in your life, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. Those that are in Pastor Walker's class or learning about those gifts, you will have to have those revelatory, get discerning spirits. You will have to have those revelatory gifts operating in your life. And the Bible says they operate as the Spirit wills. So now, if our relationship with God the Father is a hit and miss, and we don't have the ability to recognize God and where he's moving, how you recognize a person when you become familiar with them, when you spend enough time with you become familiar with who they are, that's how you can clearly hear the voice of God, and those gifts can operate in your life. Because in the last days, we will need that, because there'll be so much deception. The Bible says the very elect will be fooled. And so God has given us a space of time to prepare ourselves. Now, don't get nervous. Don't get scared. Don't get in fear. This will be some of the most prosperous times, some of the most successful times that you will ever have in your life. Because the Bible also said that God said, in these last days will I pour my spirit upon all flesh. So God can't pour his spirit on those who receive it and they not have success. They not be able to accomplish what he's calling them to do. Turn me to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Last time we were together, I began to talk about my Jewish lawyer, who's a Jewish friend of mine, who's my lawyer, and does some legal work for us. And he began to talk to me about how, and you go back and look at the last class, so I won't have to go over that again, how the Jews are working the law for eternal reasons, but are getting immediate benefit. And how Christians are not working the law because of what Jesus did on the cross, and we're not receiving immediate benefits. So what I mean by that, you rarely see a broke Jew. You rarely see a sick Jew. Why? Because in the law, they had a certain diet and had a certain, and laws govern how they handle their money. Well, you see Christians, most Christians are sick. A lot of Christians are broke. Why? Because we think Jesus died on a cross and paid for it all, which he did. But when he paid for it all, he didn't do it all. There's some things that we must do. Matthew's the 5th chapter, look at the 17th verse. Jesus talked, he said, think not that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. So what Jesus did on the cross was he fulfilled all the requirements of the law for eternity. So we're not working the law for eternity. We're working the law for immediate results. There are laws that we have to operate in this earth realm, in the natural, that will give us natural results. What I mean by that? In other words, let's talk about health. Health. You cannot just put anything in your body and think you're going to get out health. If you're putting things in your body that destroys your body, you're going to get destruction from your body. So let's think about this money. If I consume everything I get, then I have no seed to sow for a harvest. Go with me to 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. I'm going to really focus on finances tonight so that we can get a handle on this. See, over-consumers always lose. Always lose. Listen to what I said. Over-consumers always lose. Watch this, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter, and the 10th verse. Watch what it says. It says, now he that ministers seed to the soil, both ministers bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. All right. Now, in order to understand this 10th verse, we have to go back to the 6th verse. The 6th verse say, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Look at that sixth verse. The sixth verse is not positive nor negative. I'm going to say that again. The sixth verse is not positive nor negative. It is a principle. It's a law. You determine whether it's positive or negative. What I mean by that? Well, based on the sixth verse, say, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, shall also reap sparingly. But he which sow bountifully shall reap bountifully. So what I mean, this verse negative. This verse can only be negative if you're sowing sparingly, expecting to reap bountifully. Or if you're sowing bountifully and reaping sparingly. That's the only way this verse could be negative or positive. You can make up your own mind. As a matter of fact, the seventh verse says, every man according as he purposes in his heart. Spirit life training, what's the word for heart? Another word for heart? Soul. Everywhere you see the word heart, you replace it with the word soul, meaning your mind, your intellect. But this I say, he said, verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his soul or his mind, so let him give. So that means the Apostle Paul is saying, you determine. You determine. So now let's go back to the sixth verse. But this I say, he which sow sparingly, he which purposeth in his heart to sow sparingly, shall reap also sparingly. And he which purposeth in his heart to sow bountifully, shall reap also bountifully. That is a principle. It is a law that we decide. So you can very well sow sparingly and reap sparingly. And if you're satisfied with that, that's okay. You can also sow bountifully and reap bountifully. It's your decision. And that's okay. God is fine with either one. But what God is not fine with is you sowing sparingly, expecting him to give you a bountiful harvest. Also, what God is not okay with is you sowing bountifully and reaping sparingly. That's not okay. And so we have to figure out what is it, what we need to do. Go to Luke, the 16th chapter. Luke, the 16th chapter. Luke 16. Luke, the 16th chapter and the 10th verse. Very key. Once again, this is Jesus talking again. This is Jesus talking. Watch what he says, the 10th verse. It says, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. This is Jesus talking. So Jesus is saying, if I can't trust you with the least, I know I can't trust you with the much. So this is a principle. Jesus is saying, if I can trust you to hear my voice with the resources you have now, I know you will hear my voice when you have more. That's exactly what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, if I can trust you to hear my voice, faithful, full of faith, alliance, what is for the word for faith? Assignment. If you're full of my assignment in the least, I know you'll be full of my assignment in the much. That is in direct correlation to 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Turn back there. Now, remember now, Jesus said, if I can trust you with X amount of dollars, if I can trust you to hear my voice with X amount of dollars, then I will know I can hear your voice. You'll be able to hear my voice when you have X multiplied dollars. Are you getting this? This is important for where we're about to go. Go back to 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Second Corinthians 9th chapter. This is about to be for you. Your life is about to change for the better. 2 Corinthians 9th chapter, verse. Now, this is important now because, listen, remember now, one of the things we found out about during this pandemic was how financially unprepared the church was in, how financially unprepared the world system was in. People are on unemployment. They're sitting there waiting on stimulus checks. They're sitting on waiting for somebody else to give them something. Even, let's get this straight, even this whole country on this welfare state, whether you like to know it or not, let's be real, whether you like to realize it or not, the welfare state is not just talking about food stamps. Welfare is just not talking about food stamps and health care on the country. Welfare includes, anytime you hear the word welfare, it means anytime somebody else is giving you something for nothing. That's welfare. So that means what falls under that category? Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid. Nothing wrong with those things. I don't have no problem with welfare. I don't have no problem with food stamps. If a person needs to be on food stamps, take the food stamps, but make it temporarily. Make it temporary. Don't make it a lifestyle. I have no problem with those things. But you're going to have to understand the power of the seed. You will have to wrap your soul, wrap your heart, wrap your mind around the power of the seed. Because whenever you're at the behest or the mercy of the government, it depends on who in power what you get. I don't care what they promised you. Man can always lie and change their mind. That's why God said, I'm not a man that I should lie. That's why the Bible says, I'm the Lord thy God, and I change not. When God makes a promise, he keeps his promise. He will move heaven, hell, and earth to keep his word. The Bible says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but his word shall stand forever. But man, on the other hand, they can tell you one thing in 1975, what they're going to do for you. But then when 1995 come, they don't do it. Or when 2025 come, they check, oh, we don't have enough money to do this. So you cannot trust the world. So you're going to have to understand the power to see. Because in the future, ain't no telling what these people are going to do. Look at our government. They fussing and fighting. They can't figure out whether they want to give stimulus, do they want to give, or how much they want to give. Listen. In the year 2030, Social Security becomes insolvent. See, we as Christians cannot be ostriches with our head stuck in the sand thinking we're protected. The ostrich stick his head in the sand and his whole body exposed. He think he hiding. Christians cannot be ostriches. We can't be like that. We can't stick our head in the Bible with our whole other life exposed. We got to put our head up out of the Bible and allow the word to come off of these pages into our hearts and give us strategies and insight, give us words of wisdom, give us words of knowledge, give us discernment of the spirit, give us revelation knowledge that we can be able to maneuver during these times. Grab this. Watch this. Look at this 10th verse. It says, now he that ministereth, meaning he who, God, ministered seed to the who, sower. Both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed, what? Sown. All right, look at verse 8 before I go in there. Look at verse 8. It says, every man according to his purpose in the heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a what? Cheerful giver. Look at verse 8. And God is able to make all grace. Wait a minute now. All grace. He didn't just say grace. He said all grace. Grace by itself is powerful. But he said he's able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things, that you may abound to every good work. Verse 9, as it is written, he had dispersed abroad, he had given to the poor, and his righteousness remained forever. God is, that's making reference to you, that God is making it possible for you to be able to help others in need that don't know what you know, don't understand the power of the seed, so that you can teach them the power of the seed. Now look at verse 10. It says, now he that ministered, God ministered seed to the sower, and both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now this verse 10, there is an understanding that you must have for you read verse 10. Paul made an assumption in this verse, in the 10th verse. He made an assumption. He say, now he that ministers seed to the soil, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown. There is a distinction that is up to you to make. What is that distinction? According to Apostle Paul, every piece of money that comes into your control, you need to be able to determine what is seed and what is for your consumption. Come on, grasp this. Every piece of money that comes into your control, into your hand, into your bank account, you need to be able to determine what is seed and what is for your consumption. Because here that verse says he gives seed to the sower and bread for your food. Seed to sow, bread to eat. So part of your money is for sowing, a portion of your money is for sowing, a portion is for consumption. And you have to determine that. This is why you need the help of the Holy Spirit. This is why debt is so harmful. Because when you have overwhelming debt, you can't determine what is seed and what for consumption. Because debt essentially allows you to go into your future. Listen to me clearly. Listen to me. This is what debt does. Debt allows you to go into your future and obligate the money for consumption before you even get it. So therefore, when you get to your future and get that money, you can't determine what is seed and what's for consumption, because in your present time, when you sign that dotted line for debt, you've already gone into the future and committed those resources for consumption. This is powerful. Now, why is that a problem? It's a problem because Genesis 8:22 says, as long as the earth remaineth, what? Seed time and harvest will exist. So why is that a problem? Look at back at verse 10. He says, he'll give seed to the soil and bread for his food and do what? Multiply what? The bread that you ate or the seed that you've sown? See, the seed, the portion of your income that you eat, that's gone. The portion of your income that you consume, that's gone. It is the portion of your income that you sow that prepares you for the future. So now, Luke 16, Jesus saying, if I can trust you to determine in the least what is seed and what is for your consumption, I know I can trust you in the future. When you get more, I know you'll be able to hear my voice to determine what is seed and what is for consumption. I hope you're getting this. This is why I told you last time we were together to read, you need to read Money Cometh and download the book, The Four Laws of Debt-Free Prosperity. Because here's what we've done. A lot of you are whether you get paid weekly, bi-weekly, monthly, have no idea where your money is going. So that means what you're telling Jesus, is that I can't hear your voice with what I have now. I can't hear your voice with what I have now. So Jesus, you already know I'm not going to hear your voice when I get more. So therefore, God doesn't allow you to go someplace that's going to destroy you. So now you have to determine you have to begin to determine what is he. That's what I meant about Matthew 5 and 17. To Jesus fulfilled the law. He didn't work the law. You got to work it for yourself. You have to right now where you are. You have to begin to ask the Holy Spirit to help you get organized. Know where your money is going. Watch this. Now, when I talk about knowing the difference between what's for seed and what's for consumption, don't mean you consume everything. And that don't mean that everything that's supposed to be seed is supposed to be given right away. Tell you a practice that I have. Every piece of money I get in my hand, I'm asking God, okay, God, what you want me to do with this? What am I supposed to be doing with this? I ask God for permission. Can I buy this? Now, don't get super spiritual and so overboard with me. You know you got to eat grocery. You know you need deodorant. You know you need certain necessities in life. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about these major purchases. God, should I buy this car? God, should I go on this shopping spree right now? God, should I get this? Should I move out of my house? Should I go buy another house? Should I buy a bigger house? All those things, when you get the Holy Spirit involved, he will help you make the right decision. You see it right here. In the 10th verse of that 9th chapter of the 2 Corinthians, he gives seed to the soil. The Apostle Paul makes an assumption that we can tell a difference between seed and bread. Seed for sowing and bread for consumption. Listen, over-consumers always lose. Look at Matthew, the 6th chapter, and we'll close there. Because there's a scripture, we always jump to the 33rd verse, but we rarely look at the 32nd verse. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Matthew, the 6th chapter. We know the 33rd verse, but look at the 32nd verse. It says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have, what you say, need of all these things. What things? The things the Gentiles seeking. So right there, we know God ain't talking about spiritual things, because the Gentiles ain't looking for nothing spiritual. What they're looking for? Material things, a better life, a great quality of life. The Gentiles are working every day. They're seeking after those things. Watch this. But it says our Heavenly Father knoweth that we have need of all these things. That's why it say, but, eliminating the verse 32, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So when we seek God's ways of doing things first in our lives, when it comes to our finances, we seek God's ways of doing things with our finances, we will always wind up with everything that we desire. But it takes time. It takes growth. It takes training. And this is what Jesus said. If I can train you to hear my voice with what you have now, if I can train you to hear my voice with what you have now, if I can train you to hear my voice with what you have now, that means you're now making a conscious decision to allow the Holy Spirit to orchestrate your finances, get rid of what you got to get rid of, even if you have to downsize. See, some of y'all think that's poverty talk. No, it ain't poverty talk. That's I'm following the Holy Spirit talk. I ain't thinking of what nobody thinks around me and what nobody say around me. I want to live a prosperous life. I cannot live a prosperous life without the Holy Spirit guiding me. I'm not about to play this world system game. Wait a minute. I'm going to close with this. Stop letting the world system define what wealth is for you. Stop. The Bible says in Romans 12 and 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? So that you can prove, recognize the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I cannot let the world system define what wealth is for me. I'm going to let God's word and his spirit defined for me what is wealth. Because the world system, watch this, here's the trick. The world system will define wealth for you and then sell you what it takes to fit that picture of wealth. What? The world system will define wealth for you. Why do you think they show you those commercials with the movie star in that particular car? Or they show you the movie star living in a certain house? Or they show you a movie star wearing his cologne, wearing these clothes, wearing these shoes, showing you the athlete, the professional athlete doing this? Or they telling you this is how you ought to live? Because they want to sell it to you. So they want to make you, they want to take your seed so you can consume it. And now it's in their pocket. Oh my goodness, I hope you're catching on to that. Do not let the world system define for you what is wealth. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That car that they're showing you, that movie star, and you might not even like that car. Unless you just want the status, unless you just want people talking about you. Unless you just want to give a perception that you got money. Unless you want to give the perception that you're rich. Listen, I don't need perception. I need reality. I want to have reality that I'm living rich. I don't want the perception. Get out of the perception and get into reality. Get out of the perception of being rich and get into reality of being rich. Get out of the perception of having wealth and get into reality of having wealth. The only way you're going to get out of perception into reality is through the seed. I have to determine what is seed and what is for consumption. And the Holy Spirit is there to help me. So I'm going to need you to start reading Money Cometh. You don't have time to watch. No, you're right. You don't have time to watch TV now. Listen, you don't have time to watch TV because guess what? Everybody you watching on TV, they've already made their money. Mm. Everybody you watching on TV, they've already made their money. You need to begin to read and begin to educate yourself with Money Cometh and the four laws of debt-free prosperity so that you can become a better steward. So that when God taps you on the shoulder and say, I want you to sow this X amount of dollars, you won't be crawfishing. Why? Because you have it to give. You're setting yourself up for your future. So Money Cometh. I'm going to remember to put the link for the Apostle drop-in the class portal so you can watch it if you missed it. And then I want you to download the book, The Four Laws of Debt-Free Prosperity. All right. Both of those books are digital format. I'll put that in the classroom portal. I'll be sure to put those in the classroom portals also. So remember now, you don't have time to watch TV. You need to be studying and reading and getting yourself prepared. Because remember, this is not nothing new to God. God did this before. You remember Joseph? Yeah, you remember Joseph? Remember that dream Joseph interpreted? Seven fat cows, seven lean cows. What Joseph did during what the seven fat cows mean, if you remember? Seven fat years, seven prosperous years. What those seven lean cows meant? Seven lean years. Can I ask you a question? What did Joseph do during those seven fat years? He began to prepare a whole nation for the seven lean years. If a man with the wisdom of God, oh, Holy Spirit, thank you. If a man with the wisdom of God can prepare a whole nation for 7 years of famine, what can the wisdom of God do for you and your family in preparation? I'll see you next class.